Feel Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Good afternoon. Thanks and welcome back to John Yule for opening up Swing Time's box of discs for today. In 1967, one of the eagerly awaited events in the jazz calendar was the visit to the UK of the Buck Clayton Earl Hines All-Stars, a package known as Jazz from a Swinging Era. This really was a group jam-packed with talent, so much so that Earl Hines wasn't the keyboard man on my opening track. Buck Clayton composed the music, and it was called Swingville. And to give you an inkling of the talent in this group, we heard Buck Clayton and Roy Aldridge on trumpet, Vic Dickinson trombone, Earl Warren on alto, Bud Freeman was the tenor player, Sir Charles Thompson was the keyboard man, Bill Pemberton bass, and Oliver Jackson on drums. The package, in fact, visited Europe, and the recording we've just heard, Buck Clayton's Swingville, was recorded in Paris on the 12th of March 1967. Truly, jazz from a swinging era. In August 1959, an event which has been a talking point in jazz circles occurred at the time mentioned, 1959, when, at the highest of his fame, suddenly Sonny Rollins withdrew from public life. The reasons were numerous, including poor health, dissatisfaction with his accompanying groups, and an inability to find replacements. During this period, he would practice playing around the Williamsburg Bridge in New York, and this drew much attention. And when that period ended, around November 1961, indeed, on the return to normal musical life, Rollins' first album after this period included a track entitled The Bridge. And we're going to hear it now. It's played by the Sonny Rollins Quartet, Sonny Rollins tenor, Jim Hall on guitar, Bob Cranshaw bass, and Ben Riley on drums. And the recording was made at the RCA Studio in New York City on the 13th of February 1962. The Bridge. We'll be right back. One of Sonny Rollins' most famous performances on record, The Bridge. Certainly, Rollins' approach to his music had changed during the period of self-exile. If we look at the last studio session before the withdrawal period, there is much more of the conventional approach to jazz performance. Pianist Hampton Hawes and drummer Shelly Mann had not yet arrived at the studio when the decision was made to cut How High the Moon. Maybe the absence of the two rhythm men gave Rollins more room to expand his ideas. How High the Moon. And the name of the group, when it was presented, was Sonny Rollins and the Contemporary Leaders. But for this How High the Moon recording, Sonny Rollins on tenor, Barney Kessel guitar and Leroy Vinegar on bass makes it a trio. It was recorded in the Contemporary Studios, Los Angeles, the 20th or the 22nd of October, 1958. How High the Moon. Thank you.
Thank you.
interesting selection of tunes on this album, including I've Told Every Little Star, Rockabye Your Baby with a Dixie Melody, I Found a New Baby, and In the Chapel in the Moonlight. A selection which padded out Rollins' assertion at the time that jazz is a thing that is built on what has happened before. There'll be more Sonny Rollins in my future programmes, and we're remembering that sadly Sonny Rollins died towards the end of May. The vocalist on the next session was known at the time of the recording as Mrs. Al Cohen. As you may imagine, the tenor player, with a background that included his wife, a well-known vocalist of the day, putting together a selection of quite well-known songs. Here is You Is, or Is You Ain't, My Baby. Singer used her maiden name there. It was Marilyn Moore, and she was accompanied by the Don Abney Orchestra, who were Joe Wilder on trumpet, Al Cohen, tenor, and arranger for that piece. Don Abney, piano. Barry Galbraith, guitar. Milt Hinton, bass. And Ozzy Johnson was the drummer. It was recorded in New York City, January to February 1957. A source of inspiration for the naming of jazz compositions are the many individuals who, not jazz men or women in their own right, nevertheless did have contributions to the development of our music in some manner. They include writers, nightclub and dance hall proprietors, disc jockeys, and many other peripheral activities. Probably one of the most famous is disc jockey Fred Robbins, who had a piece that was named after him, or more precisely his radio show, by Sir Charles Thompson. Here are two that we can bring to mind. First, the co-founder in 1958 of the Monterey Jazz Festival, writer and certainly a leading light in the Downbeat magazine, was Ralph J. Gleason. His dates were 1917 to 1975. And he has a blues devoted to him, played by the Red Garland Trio. Red Garland piano. George Joyner, also known as Abdul Malik, on bass. And Charlie Persip drums. Recorded in the Van Gelder Studio. For the first time today, the Van Gelder Studio in Hackensack, New Jersey, 22nd of August 1958, the Ralph J. Gleason Blues. Thank you. And, as we mentioned him earlier, Fred Robbins, whose famous radio programme, Robin's Nest, which commenced in New York in the 40s, was eventually syndicated to some 100 radio stations in the US and Canada. I should say that here on Swing Time, we are endeavouring to emulate this achievement, but have not quite reached this target yet. However, thanks to Sir Charles Thompson and Fred Robbins, a jazz standard was created. And hopefully here is the composer, Sir Charles Thompson, with Robin's Nest, recorded in Canada on the 18th of March 1984. And I'm hoping my engineer here has worked the oracle and he's looking whimsical. Let's see where we go. Thank you. Well, quite obviously not Robin's Nest. I'm sorry about that. What you did hear was Sir Charles Thompson playing quite immaculately, I thought. You don't know what love is. However, we can still honour Fred Robbins because Sir Charles wasn't the only composer to link his name with a composition. Billy Strayhorn also composed a tune which Ellington recorded on two separate occasions. And the version that Strayhorn composed was called Snibor, which obviously is Robins spelt backwards, if you like, the semantic of it. So, here is Snibor, and it's played here by Alan Barnes and his octet. And with Alan on this recording, well, let's hear the music first, and then I'll give you the information later.
Thank you.
the Alan Barnes Octet from his album, the music of Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn. The makeup of the group was Bruce Adams trumpet and flugelhorn, Andy Wood trombone, Alan Barnes playing alto, clarinet and bass clarinet, Tony Coe tenor, clarinet and soprano sax, Andy Panay on clarinet, flute and baritone. John Haller was a pianist, Alec Dankworth played bass and Mike Smith was at the drums. The arrangement was by Tony Faulkner, which I know many Swingtime listeners will associate, is a man who will be associated with the college at Leeds for many years. Recorded in the Red Gable Studios, Greenford, Middlesex, on the 21st of January 2008. Well, Mike Coates here, bringing Swing Time to a close today. Thank you for listening. I do hope that you have enjoyed our selections and further adventures in the whole range of jazz, that's swing, blues, jazz, and associated music. John and I expect to be back next Tuesday for more Swing Time on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM, and be sure to take good care of yourselves until we meet again. To go out with then, Earl Hines. I mentioned in my opening track that Sir Charles Thompson had replaced him on that particular section. This is Earl Hines, definitely at the piano, with his own composition, Back Room at the Villa d'Este.